The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Yeah, as I said, it's really great to be here with you all and practice this happy hour tonight. I was planning on doing a practice of receiving loving kindness or metta, and then also sending it after we've practiced the receiving part. But first I'll give some reflections on metta or loving kindness that come to mind. And metta is not something that we right away have to be good at. It's okay if it's not working or if it's messy or if we don't really feel much. And that is because it's a practice. Someone's phone is mute some people. Yeah. So metta is a practice. It's something we can get better at, in a sense. It's like a process. And sometimes we just don't feel it. And sometimes we can even feel disengaged, or emotions can come up, or judgments or attachments. And that's all very normal in a metta practice. And sometimes conditions are just such that we just don't feel it and we just can't generate any metta. Same for the other Brahma-viharas. And at other times we might find ourselves like exuding abundantly lots of metta to all corners of the universe. And I found out that it's not like fully in our control. And we don't have to take it personally the way the metta is flowing or the other Brahma-viharas. Either way, like if it's feeling abundant or dry, it's just causes and conditions that are here right now to create this specific experience in this moment. So I think that's very important to realize when we do this practice, since we might all sometimes have the tendency to think like, oh, this was a good metta practice, I'm nailing it. Or this was lousy, I'm not a good metta practitioner. And sometimes we even build our self-worth on those judgments of our practice. Well, in reality, it has not so much to do with ourself, with the I, me, mine. It has more to do with just causes and conditions coming together. And sometimes we might have a lot of emotion and the metta just not flowing because there's a lot of other stuff going on. So things are not always in our control. And life just happens. So if it's out of our control, like, what can we do then? Can we do anything? And I really like what Sharon Salzberg is saying. She's this great metta person. She's from Insight Meditation Society, one of the founders. In her book on loving kindness, she describes, doing metta, we plant the seeds of love, knowing that nature will take its course, and in time, those seeds will bear fruit. Some seeds will come to fruition quickly, some slowly, but our work is simply to plant the seeds. End quote. We can plant those seeds of loving kindness, and maybe within some decades, if we practiced this practice of metta, we might end up with a big, strong metta forest full of beautiful trees. So it's not something that usually happens overnight. It takes time and also repeated practice. And those of you who might come regularly to happy hours, maybe already for months or years, you might just notice that your forest starts to grow and that there first may be small plants arising and then they turn into small trees and eventually into big trees. And metta becomes something more available for you. And this is not always a linear thing that happens. It's usually goes up and down. And sometimes we feel like, oh, this forest is really growing great. And then at some point, it might seem like a desert again. So even if you sometimes can exude this loving kindness, then there still can be days that you don't feel it or that it doesn't seem to work so well. So in that sense, the simile doesn't go all the way. there are some limitations to this simile. But nonetheless, this image of planting seeds can be very helpful in times when the practice gets a bit dry. We can remember ourselves like, oh, we're planting seeds. Every sentence, every phrase, or every little bit of intention that I have is planting a new seed. And Sharon Salzberg continues in her book, every time we form the intention in the mind for our own happiness or for the happiness of others, we are doing our work. Beyond that, we can just trust the laws of nature to continually support the flowering of our love. End of the quote. And so even if we don't really feel the metta in that moment, that we are using the phrases, for example, we still are planting a seed for maybe a future moment. It might flower and at the future moment. So our genuine intention is doing all the hard work in the background. We don't have to do that much. That's the good news. And then before we start the meditation, I want to lastly quote Pablo Neruda, who is also mentioned in Sharon Salzberg's book. He says, perhaps the earth can teach us as when everything seems dead and later proves to be alive. So with that, let's settle into the meditation. You can start with finding a posture that is comfortable. It's always a good idea for the Brahmavihara practice to be comfortable. Because if your body hurts or is uncomfortable in any way, it might be a bit harder to generate metta or to feel metta. So metta can even be practiced like laying down or just slouching on the couch. That's more comfortable for you. And whenever you're ready, you can close your eyes if that feels right to you. And we'll start with some relaxation. You can feel your body in a posture that's in. Maybe it's sitting, maybe it's laying down. Just really become aware of the body. You can breathe in a little bit deeper than normal and breathe out a little bit deeper. And on the out-breath, you can have the intention to let go. Let go of any tension. After a few breaths, you can let go of the deeper breathing and return to your normal breathing. And we'll do a little body scan to see if there's any tension in the body. Start with the head. Maybe there is some tension in the forehead or the jaw. And just by directing your attention to this area, it might release already. down to the throat, the neck. And just gently, kindly focus on those areas. Shoulders. Arms and hands. We'll just let this gentle attention do the work. The chest and the upper back. Belly and the lower back. We're not looking for anything in particular, just a gentle attention for that area. Pelvic area. Upper legs. Knees. Lower legs and the feet. You can become aware of your whole body again. Maybe there's a little bit of a difference than before the body scan. Maybe not, it's also fine. And if there's any tension left in any area, you can invite that area, maybe your shoulders or your forehead, maybe another area. Like, may this area relax a little bit more, for as far as possible. It can bring a lot of kindness to that. You can even invite your mind to relax. You can just say, may the mind relax. Maybe that's available to you and maybe not. Either way is okay. If you feel ready, you can connect with your heart center in the middle of your chest. Just by placing your attention there. You can also place a hand on your chest that helps you connect to that area. And tune in. What is it like right now in your heart area? Maybe it feels tense or closed off, confused. Maybe it's open, warm, radiant. Or maybe you don't really feel much there. It's not about that it needs to be a certain way. It's about just acknowledging what's there right now. Maybe we can acknowledge it with kindness. Kind attitude towards what's there right now in your heart. We're going to receive metta from a benefactor. A benefactor can be someone who you trust. Maybe someone who has helped you or guided you on your path. Could be a coach or teacher, a dear aunt or uncle, maybe even a pet. Most people will be able to visualize their benefactor and their mental eye in front of them. Maybe even multiple benefactors arise, and you can all place them around you or in front of you, whatever feels good to you, feels right. But if you have trouble visualizing, you can also feel their presence. Or use their name. That is also fine. And if one or more benefactors are in your presence right now, then you can imagine that it's benefactor or benefactors sent you well wishes. And the first wish they have for you is, may you be safe. The benefactor repeats this phrase a few times for you, may you be safe. From their heart to yours. May you be safe. May you be happy. See if you can really receive their sincere well-wishing for you. May you be happy. May you be happy. this kind wish really land? May you be healthy. If needed, you reimagine the benefactor or benefactors around you. May you be healthy. Imagine them to say, may you be healthy. Maybe you can feel the goodness in their heart that this beautiful wish is coming from. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. You're just bathing in the metta of this benefactor or benefactors. You only have to allow it, receive it. Let it go to every cell of your body. May you live with ease. Really take it in. This is a gift for you. May you live with ease. Now we're going to turn around and send the metta, our metta, to the benefactor or benefactors that are around you. You can reconnect with your heart if needed. And then send the well wishes to the benefactor. May you be safe. And feel free to change the phrases with your own favorite phrases if needed or wanted. I'll use the standard phrases. From your heart outwards towards the benefactor. May you be safe. Know that even if it's difficult to feel metta right now, that you're still planting seeds. Might bloom in a different time. Maybe you do feel it, and then you can already feel the effect of the seeds that you're planting. And the next phrase for the benefactor, may you be happy. May you be happy. May you be healthy. And this practice is not so much about the other person is gonna get healthy or happy. It's more about cultivating our own hearts, cultivating metta in our own hearts. It's a wholesome quality of heart mind. May you live with ease. May you live with ease. You can keep the benefactor or benefactors around you, but we'll turn towards herself to send ourselves metta. And the benefactor can support us if needed. The metta that the benefactor might still be radiating towards you can be a support for you to be able to feel the metta for yourself. So with that support, you can direct the phrases towards yourself. And feel free to use other phrases, your own favorite phrases. I will use the standard ones. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. The Buddha has said, and I'm paraphrasing, you are just as worthy of your love as anyone else. And lastly, we will send a metta phrase to the Sangha. All the people here on Zoom, the people who couldn't make it tonight, they're normally also maybe present for happy hour. Diana and Nikki and other villains. People who are listening to Audio Dharma. May all be happy. All of them be happy. And you can take a moment to appreciate yourself for practicing loving kindness tonight or whatever time zone you're in. It's not always easy. And you put in the effort, the time, and the energy. You can acknowledge that for yourself. Maybe you can feel some gratitude for your own practice and your sincere wish to alleviate suffering. We can share this benevolent energy, this goodness with all beings. May the benevolent energies from our practice together be shared with all beings. May all beings be happy and at ease. We have some time for reflections, questions, comments. Maybe you'd like to share something about your practice. Often it's helpful for others. We share. You can also put it in the chat if that's more comfortable for you. You can raise your Zoom hand. Elaine says, I liked the quote you gave from Sharon Salzberg. Yeah, I can get the quotes to Neil, maybe. and put them in the on the group group Google group. Bill saying, I found myself dealing with impatience and aversion during the sit. And then aversion and dealing with my aversion. Yeah, very recognizable. Yeah, when we do any practice, metta, or just normal meditation, we sometimes the conditions come together that we experience impatience and aversion or other feelings or emotions. And that's a little bit what I talked about in my intro, like just causes and conditions coming together, and we just have to work with what's there. And on the, in the background, if we just keep doing sending those metta phrases, we'll be planting seeds anyways, even if there's aversion and impatience. And sometimes it can be useful to just spend some time with the aversion or the impatience, just observe it a little bit before you go back to the metta practice. That can be helpful, especially when it's a bit overwhelming or when it's a little stronger. It's perfectly fine to take a break and do some vipassana meditation, for example. Yeah, well, we could do some breakout groups for maybe 7 minutes or so. Let me see. Let me see if I can... set this up. Doesn't seem to work right now. Doesn't let me choose more than one breakout room. So it's going to be a big group. That is weird. I guess we're not going to have breakout rooms because it doesn't work for some reason. Not sure why. So I don't know if there's anything else that people would like to share. Yeah, Anthony.
Hi, Marjolien. Yes, I wanted to ask, I've been away from the Dharma practice for almost 2 months now, you know, and I just had some family obligations to deal with, and a lot of work, and my schedules were shifted, so now I had to do swing shift, so I wasn't able to do any of the happy hours, and I just put it in the back burner, kind of saying that not making it a priority. And I noticed a drastic impact in my state of being, in day-to-day life, just within a few, you know, a month or so. And, so it's interesting how you said about the planting the seeds, and, I think also like watering the seeds also would be, to me, is kind of like practicing it, daily, you know, kind of practice, reflecting on it and whatnot. And through my experience, I noticed that you gotta Even though the seeds are planted, if you don't water them, it can, how do you say, it can also go backwards, you know, kind of. So, yeah, I just wanted to add that in there. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for adding that. That's great addition to the simile. To water the seeds, and for sure we have to water them and keep going. And if we don't practice for a while, we can really feel that. And if we get back, then we can feel the wholesome effects again of practicing, whether it's metta or vipassana or some other brahmavihara. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. It's a good reminder for everyone. Yeah. Fred.
Thank you. I was glad that you included the Sangha. I think it was the first time I've been sitting here when a leader did formally include all of us, and it felt so right and natural, and I thank you for it.
Yeah, great. Thanks for the feedback. Good to hear. See some hearts popping up for Fred, for Fred's comment. Yeah, I see Terrence, yeah.
Okay, in going to a benefactor, I began to sense all, not just the one benefactor, but I've been such a received the benefactions of many people in my life. And it just began to open up for me. And I remembered people that I have not thought of, you know, perhaps in a long time, that were important and were beneficial, helped me along in some ways. And I just felt my awareness kind of expand in that way. And I thought that was very, very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. Thanks for sharing that, Terrence. There's a little story coming to mind that Sharon Salzberg writes about in her book. Maybe some of you have read the book too. She describes that she's on retreat doing a month long only metta, the whole month only metta for herself. And she didn't really notice any difference in how she was feeling towards herself at all. And she was like, I'm just doing this for nothing. And it's just not working. And then she gets called home because of, I don't remember, some family member getting ill or something, and she needs to go home. So she needs to leave the retreat. And then while she's packing, she drops this bottle on the bathroom floor. And the first thing she says to herself is, it's okay, sweetie, or something like that. And she realized, like, oh, the practice did help. It did have an effect. And that is kind of the planting seeds. At some point, we notice this epiphany, like, oh, wow, I'm a lot more friendly towards myself, or maybe towards my partner, or towards my my child or my parent. At some point, we can suddenly realize that. A little story that came to mind. I don't know if there's any other people who want to share something or a reflection. Yeah, I'm sorry we didn't have breakout groups today. I know that's a really nice part of this evening, so you can connect to with each other a little bit. And else we'll stop a little early, more early than normal. But yeah, if there's anyone who feels inspired, yeah, Richard. Richard, yeah, go ahead.
Hi, no, I just want to say hello. Thank you. Thank you for a good, I feel calm for the first time in a week. So you've done something good.
Okay. Great, thank you. Was it? You just want to share?
That's all.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Nothing deep.
that's lovely. And Jerry or Gary? I'm not sure how to pronounce your name. Oh, you're still muted.
Either works. Anyway, it's Jerry. But thank you, first of all. And I guess I do echo, perhaps in a larger way, what was mentioned earlier about the issue of benefactors. And actually, I hadn't thought of some benefactors. And I then started thinking in a more general way. And I thought, my goodness, I had forgotten about them. So I think that had been mentioned a bit earlier, but I think it's helpful actually to remind ourselves, as Terence mentioned, about benefactors, because sometimes we don't realize how many there are. And it was helpful tonight because I was thinking of someone, I'm in medical politics in Canada, and there was someone that I had actually not thought about, and I thought, oh my goodness, I'm here because of him and others. So it is helpful to have a review, as you mentioned tonight. So thank you.
That's great. Thank you for sharing that. And it can be very helpful indeed, and realize how much impact some people have had on our lives, how much beneficial impact. Yeah.
And continue to have on our lives.
Right. Yeah, some continue to have, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
The other thing I would say is to add to that, and perhaps hasn't been mentioned tonight, is it makes you feel less singular in the world when you recognize the number of people that are supporting you at times when one can feel quite alone, but recognize that there are many people out there actually supporting you. You just have maybe forgotten about them. So it's helpful to reduce the existential sense of aloneness.
Yeah, it brings connection back to our hearts. Yeah. Great, thanks for adding that. Well, then we're practically at our designated time for this happy hour. Thank you all for being here and sharing and practicing. I've really enjoyed this, and really delighted to be here with this beautiful Sangha. I'm wishing you all the best these last days of the year, and I'll be back on the New Year's Eve and maybe see some of you there.